sitting next to me. Heard you're new in town, before you get around, here's a little tip from me. Best stick to yourself no matter where you go. Just watch your back and hold your own. And if after that trouble's knocking at your door, remember my friend, it's a town we're fighting for. Welcome to your paradise, with a little man pays a bigger price. Take another hit, just get it over with. We're a little sick, you see. Can't stay down no more, we gotta make it known. So get back up, you're not alone. Then hit them back, leave them gripping to the floor. You never had a choice, they're knocking at your door. Remember my friend, it's time in this is war.
Go, ladies and gentlemen. I think that tune just sums up the way the world is at the moment. We are at war. Anyway, thank you, Dave. Thank you, because that sums a lot of things up. And I just want to make a little comment there, because I just love that tune, ladies and gentlemen. And I know you probably do as well. It's absolutely awesome. Anyway. Good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live from blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth, the voice, the spirits of the EDL. As I say tonight, our title of the show this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is English Defence League radio show, Groupies. There you go. Give you something to think about. Anyway, welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. And my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight we're discussing the disgusting flood of support for the Islamic death cult terrorists who attacked Israel and who are continuing to imprison and torture people from various countries. These terror groupies claim they're backing the phony state of Palestine. But the nose knows the smell of brimstone from Gaza. And we will reveal the lies that prop up these demons on earth. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke back in the 1770s, I think he was the Prime Minister at the time. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So, once again, I've got to thank Dave for the great script and the slides for this evening. I've got hiccups now, hiccups or whatever. Anyway, let me pass you straight over to Dave from the great Vermont in the USA. And of course, everybody that listens, of course, in Washington, with my friend Kenneth McClinton and his TV and radio, network TV and radio. So with that, Dave, and to the world, God bless you all. And okay, Dave.
Thanks, Jeff, and hello to everyone. Yes, we've got quite the show. We're going to start with something that addressed something that we talked about last week, and then we're going to get right into the supporters of the Islamic death cult demons who have attacked Israel and who are now carrying on attacks worldwide. And before we do that, of course, we have to do the normal housekeeping. First, want to welcome everyone listening at the TECN.TV radio page. If you want the best in urban Christian conservative news, talk, and entertainment, go to TECN.TV and you will get it there, including this week when Ken will be running the movie 1984 by George Orwell. A very on-time thing to be doing, especially given what the World Economic Forum and their fluffers are trying to get up to now. And if you want to know what a fluffer is, you can look that up now. If you want to get into Jeff's chat, we podcast here live every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the UK, and that's 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States, except for we have a little hiccup when the clocks change over, but that won't be for a week or two. What you can do to get into Jeff's chat is to go to blogtalkradio.com, look at the White Top Center search box, type in EDL Radio or English Defense League Radio Show, follow the links, and if you are registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into the chat and have a talk with Jeff, and he will give you a shout-out and whatnot. Jeff, before we get into things, do we have anybody in the chat, brother?
Yeah, we've got a new name I've got in here this evening. He's called Snowman James, and he's given us a thumbs up, and he's got English Defence League, so there you go. Thanks for joining us evening tonight, James, in the chat room. We probably have a couple more gentlemen join us soon as well, but it's always good to see a new person in our chat for tonight. So with that, Dave, back to you.
Welcome, Snowman. Appreciate you. Now, last week, you guys can remember me bragging quite a bit about the nation of Poland and the Polish people and how they've managed to hang on to freedom and liberty, even in these times of wokeness and political correctness and all of this. Well, they've recently had an election, and exit polls there It's not over yet because they haven't finished the final tally and probably won't until Tuesday. But exit polls there show that the left may have actually won the election, and that might put Mr. Tusk as the Prime Minister of Poland. And of course, Jeff and I and everyone involved with Brexit know Tusk as one of the people who were the Darth Vader of the Brexit movement. And that would be a very bad thing for Poland. I'm going to go ahead, though, and run this little squib that I found. I believe this is from Sky News, just to catch you people up a little bit. Here we go. Listening to the English Defense League radio show.
After 8 years, Polish politics may be changing its tune. It looks like the ruling right-wing party may have lost its majority. But in Warsaw, its supporters aren't ready for change. Dark clouds are gathering above Poland, this lady says when we ask about the future. Soon we'll end up like London or France, shopper Andrzej adds. The election has split this country in two, with many in the east wanting the current government to stay in power. Whichever side ends up forming Poland's next government faces both a divided parliament and a divided country. Right-wing leaders are accused of fueling that divide by eroding women's and minority rights, sparking protests. LGBT campaigner Agata says many rifts run deep.
Poland is really divided, and it's on this like macro scale when you look at the map of the country, but it's also on the micro scale when you look at families, when you look at groups of friends, groups, I don't know, colleagues, co-workers. People actually get in huge fights. They have like big like rifts about politics.
This man, Donald Tusk, along with his opposition partners, are promising to unite Poland if they get into power. But that won't be easy.
Law and Justice Party has many voters. There are also Polish citizens who are expecting some kind of proposition from the new government. It would be a mistake to ignore them or to treat them as minority in their own country. So I think that the opposition, if they are going to form a government, will also have to reach out to those people and offer something.
But before any healing can begin, another bitter battle lies ahead as Poland's right-wing politicians prepare to fight to hold on to power. Siobhan Robbins, Sky News, Warsaw.
Well, there you go. And welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with host Jeff Dangerman Mitchell. Jeff, your views real quick.
Well, I just think that common sense went straight out the window. Voting in someone like that party, what you're going to add the flood of what you see over in the UK and across the United States and everywhere else that class themselves as the free nations. You know, we look to you, the Polish people, to have common sense. And you know what? We saluted you, respect you because of your values, the way you love your families and the way you like things to be done. We got a lot of respect. You know, if I had my way, I'd have lived in Poland because the way that the state in my country is, probably be better off in Poland. But sadly, you got a lot of losers out there, ladies and gentlemen, that decided that they want to go down the path to oblivion. And you being proud people, do you know what? I know you're not going to put up with that crap. I honestly believe that the real strong hearts of Polish people will not put up with this because they're not that type of people. We've known that for a long time. You know, they are a strong strong nation, but there's weakness there because otherwise this lot would have got in. Well, no, it's still a fight on. You know, I thought about 60-70% would have voted the common sense way. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Maybe it was a bit of election engineering, if you know what I mean, guys. We've seen it across the planet, so don't think it couldn't have backed you. A lot of money involved in it. Think of that. But anyway, Dave, That's all I want to say about it, but we've all got to say about the way we look at things, and something don't smell right about this whole thing. Don't know if you agree with me, Dave.
Well, yeah, let's, to say first what needs to be said, according to the polls, the exit polls, Law and Justice, the party that is currently in charge, got more votes than the lefties got, than Donald Tusk's party got. So as far as just sheer more votes, they did get more votes. So the common sense of the people of Poland hasn't completely gone away. The trouble is that it's a democracy, not a republic like the United States. So these two or three parties may, if things hold up past the exit polls, if they hold up to where Tusk's party actually won, then what they're basically going to do is throw away all of the freedoms and liberties that their parents and grandparents bought for them since they had their first re-election in 1989. And they're selling themselves down the river to be once again a client nation, not of the Soviet Union, but of Brussels. And for what? For rainbow flags and pronouns and for global warming, basically for garbage. And that's a slap in the face. What I've been seeing in news reports is that it was mostly young people that turned out in this election that the lefty newspapers are saying turned the tide. And that's what they turned the tide for, a bunch of garbage, and basically putting their country right back in the position that it was in before 1989. And I hope and pray that the people of Poland will continue to use their common sense. And hopefully this story is not over yet, but we had to bring this story, Jeff, because we did talk about him last week, and neither you nor I want the English Defense League radio show to be one of those programs that ignores something that might possibly embarrass them for something that they said the previous week. We stand up to the truth here, and we're not going to stop doing that. So, Jeff, do you have anything more, or is there anything out of chat before we get into the real meat of the show?
No, there's not a lot I want more to say about it, but at the moment, I just feel rather disappointed the way that, well, there's still a fight on, so we might see, it might be, but it looks like Tusk. Oh, can you imagine? What a pleb he is, Dave. What a pleb. We fought against him so hard for so many years, and look where he is. You know, just can't believe it's like a bloody nightmare, isn't it? Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. But I just thought, you know, I know that the Polish people are good people, good hearts, family people, and family values. I can't imagine them wanting their country to end up like our countries. Invasion going on and everything changing around you. It breaks your heart, doesn't it, David? And it breaks their hearts. And I can't imagine the Polish people putting up with it. I do believe there's going to be a big fight back. You've got to carry on fighting. You've got to fight on, fight hard, never, ever surrender. Keep fighting. Resist. Back to you, Dave.
That was beautiful and right on time. It's exactly what I would say. Now, we're going to get into the show here, the real meat of the show. And you guys, if you've read any news at all, you know that Muslims have been attacking Jewish people all over the planet at the behest of Hamas and all of these other imams and people of that nature. And there are literally too many stories of attacks for us to get into in this program. We could do a six-hour show here and not break a sweat, but we only have 90 minutes. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk about the enablers. We're going to talk about people in government, formerly in government, and even news media who are acting like groupies for a rock and roll band. In other words, basically they're throwing themselves on their backs and they're opening their legs real wide for their favorites. And their favorites are the demons that are doing things like tying old people to chairs and burning them alive, raping wives in front of their husbands before they kill them all, and beheading babies. And they may say that they're backing one thing. They may say they're backing, oh, well, this is humanitarian aid. But that's what they're backing. That's who they're the groupies for. They're the groupies for the Islamists that are attacked Israel and are continuing to attack Israel and are attacking places and people all across this planet right now. That's the enablers, the groupies. That's who we're going to concentrate on, Jeff. Now, I'm going to ask you one more time. Is there anything out of chat before we begin with this first story? This one's out of the UK.
Yeah, no, hang about that. I'm just going to flip back just to see. No, there's no comment at the moment. But let's blame it on what it is as well before we move on to that bit. It's the media. The media keep reporting on these things. The media is the demon. They're one of Satan's minions. We know that all these are involved in this are the devils. They're doing the devil's dance. All of them. Totally evil in the way that they look at things, and they don't get what's coming very soon. They don't realise the extent of what's going to happen, what's going to unfold in the very near future. I would say most of them have got to prepare, because things are going to change in a big way. And that's all I want to say about it. Dave, back to you, bruv.
Okay, and we will definitely get to the media. All right, guys, this first one is from the UK, from a former government official. What do you hear about the background on this beauty? This one is about 3¾ minutes long. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Israel forfeited any right to exist, declares former British MP following Gaza hospital blast, by Kurt Sindalka on October 18, 2023. A former British MP declared Israel forfeited any right to exist after the international media blamed the Jewish state for an explosion at a hospital in Gaza on Tuesday evening, despite denials from Jerusalem. The Israel Defense Forces, IDF, has claimed the explosion at the Ali Baptist Hospital in the Gaza Strip was a result of a misfired rocket intended to strike Israel by the Iranian-backed Palestinian Islamic Jihad, PIJ, terror organization. However, legacy media outlets quickly attributed, without evidence, the deadly blast to a missile fired from Israel. Before the dust had settled, a wave of condemnations came from politicians throughout the world, and one former British parliamentarian, former Labour Party MP Chris Williamson, went so far as to suggest the entire state of Israel should be abolished. Israel has forfeited any right to exist, Williamson wrote on social media. When pressed to explain his post, the former MP added, "You know that Israel is a racist endeavor. Its brutal behavior over 75 years is now manifesting itself in a genocide before our very eyes. Unless and until Israel is dismantled, we will never achieve peace in the region." Following the deadly Hamas terror attacks on Israel earlier this month that have left over 1,400 Israelis and tourists dead, thousands more injured, and approximately 200 kidnapped, Williamson said that the terror attacks were justified. "I do not condemn Palestine's armed uprising against 75 years of Israeli oppression. I wish it wasn't necessary, but all nonviolent efforts to obtain justice have been spurned by Israel," he wrote. Williamson served as a Member of Parliament for the left-wing Labour Party from Derby North from 2010 to 2015 and from 2017 to 2019. He also served as the Shadow Minister for Communities and Local Government from October 2010 to October 2013. The far-left politician was suspended from the party and ultimately blocked from standing as an MP candidate for Labour in 2019 over reportedly downplaying anti-Semitism within the left-wing party under the leadership of socialist former leader Jeremy Corbyn. Following the explosion at the hospital in Gaza, Corbyn, who has also been barred by Labour from standing for the party in the next general election over the anti-Semitism scandal, also blamed the deadly blast on Israel, writing on social media, "Israeli airstrikes have hit Al-Ali Hospital in Gaza. More than 500 people, patients, doctors and those sheltering, have been killed. What unspeakable horror. We will mourn their loss forever. Our leaders could have spoken up for peace. They chose to cheer on war instead. When will they demand an end to these atrocious war crimes? How many Palestinian lives will it take to call for these indiscriminate killings to stop? Please, for the sake of humanity, raise your voice for an immediate ceasefire. The existence of the Palestinian people is at stake. So far, no evidence has been provided to back up the claims from Hamas that Israel was behind the explosion. Meanwhile, Israel has published audio purporting to demonstrate Hamas terrorists acknowledging that the explosion occurred as a result of a misfired rocket intended to strike Israel. Follow Kurt Sindelka on Twitter, follow at Kurt Sindelka or email to sindelka@breitbart.com.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with host Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, he's from the UK. Your views?
Yeah, well, don't forget, they're both anti-Semitic. They hate the Jewish people, and they're the type that doesn't want them to exist, and they'll make any excuses. Now, what they're saying about the attack on the hospital had nothing to do with Israel. The idea didn't have nothing to do with it. I was watching Al Jazeera, ladies and gentlemen. I was watching Al Jazeera firing these rockets up in the air, and I see one go astray. Then on the left side, I saw a flash. That was the hospital. And they're condemning Israel for the strike, which it wasn't them. I witnessed it. I saw it. These politicians are anti-Semitic. They are scum. And don't forget, they were both expelled from the party. These are the type of people you don't want to listen to. Listen to people like myself, people like Dave, because I won't lie to you. I'll tell you what I saw. I was watching that feed. I watched it go down. So this is what annoys me. The lies, the misconception, the whole lot. And I saw it as the way it went down. I was watching. I was watching it. So, and you know what? I know Israel was watching it as well. There's people out there that watches these things. And they saw that. In fact, they showed a map of exactly how it all happened, how it went down. And they weren't wrong. That's all I'll say. But by my own observation, I do not lie, ladies and gentlemen. I do not lie. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. Well, French intelligence, and the French are not known as great friends of Israel, have confirmed that there is no evidence that Israel fired into that hospital. And if you guys want to listen to a different analysis of that, because there's still been no proof that the Israelis fired into that hospital. But if you guys want to listen to some different analysis of that, I do a Thursday night program segment with Ken McClinton, CEO of TECN.TV. Now, that comes on at about 10:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States, and that is about 3:30 a.m. in the UK on Friday morning. But you can go to the TECN.TV Rumble page, and you will be able to read, or rather hear, the segments that we did. And of course, you will recognize the one that we did on this hospital, because the word groupies is in there as well. And there is no evidence that this happened. But what happened? This living turd of a left-wing politician, Justin Trudeau, CNN, the fake stream media all over the place, and terrorist supporters all over the planet jumped on the thing the moment that Hamas said that it happened. They took that cue from Hamas and started condemning Israel. That'll tell you who they support. And as far as this lefty MP goes, look, guys, in the UK, I don't want to tell you how to vote. All I'm going to do is tell you a couple of things here. Number one, this guy is representative of the left, but he was so bad that he was kicked out, that he was got all his support withdrawn from the Labour Party. That's how bad he is, and that's representative of Labour. And two things that I've read so far that Labour wants to do if they get in, and yeah, I know you're disappointed with the Conservatives. I'm just as disappointed with the rhinos over here in the United States. All right, two things Labour wants to do when they get in the UK is, number one, they want to lower the voting age to 16. They want to do that. And number two, they want to put people in jail for 2 years for misgendering someone. So if you happen to call some freakazoid ma'am or sir or something like that, and they take offense, that's you banged up for 2 years. Okay? And you will also see a lot more support for terror from the left, from Labour, if you put them in. That's all I'm going to say on that subject. Jeff, do you have anything more to say, or is there anything out of chat before we move on to, we're going to swing over to the United States.
Yeah, I was just going, there's nothing in the chat, but I was going to say, something, it's gone out of my mind now. Labour's not going to get in. Doesn't matter, they do well at by-elections. So they always do well at by-elections. But when you come up to a general election, people think of their manifesto and the way that they're talking about things. They're not going to get voted in. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not going to happen. I know we've got some stupid people in this country, but then again, you've got common sense people in the country. They won't get in. They've lost that opportunity to do that with all the anti-Semitic crap. That's not going to go down in this country. You know, people see common sense. Yes, the Conservatives ain't as sweet as the sweet, which I've often talked about. They're just a bunch of idiots. But I'd rather have them bunch of idiots than the other bunch of losers and idiots. So you know, you caught between a hard place here, but at least you know where you are with them, and the ones that might come in instead, there's going to be an hardcore thing going on. Whoa, see, change this country, it's going to be absolutely horrific. So please keep your marbles. Think, okay, yeah, I've got to vote somewhere. Well, I never voted for none of them, so there you go. The only time I voted was Brexit, and we won it. So there you go. That's the only time I vote, when it's that important that my values and the values of my people in this country, that's the reason why I went to the election to vote for Brexit. The only time, because I don't normally vote. I'm not politically affiliated with none of them. You know what I mean? I've just got my own views. Like I talk on this radio show, I've got my own views about everything. So there you go. It's up to you. But you vote for the left, you're going down a real bad place. You think things are bad now? Put them in and you wait and see. Devastation. You see all these people flooding in? You can get more than that. You can get turfed out of yards. Where you live, you'll probably be turfed out. And then move out of a dozen east passes. Oh, yes. If you don't think that can happen, just wait and see. Mark my words. So I say positive, vote the right side when it comes, because that's going to be the one that you should vote for. But I will not. I refuse to vote anyway. So anyway, Dave, back to you.
All right, Jeff. Well, you know what? We've been hearing ever since the coup of 2021 here in the United States that people who came in and demonstrated in the U.S. Capitol were engaging in an insurrection, mischaracterizing them. And there are some of them that are still being held, by the way, unconstitutionally over here. But, okay, since entering a government building with demonstrators is an insurrection, Yeah, we had another insurrection last week. Check this out. This is 2.5 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Exclusive video. Pro-Palestinian insurrectionists occupy Federal House Office building in Washington, D.C. by Wendell Hasibo and Bradley J. on October 18, 2023. About 100 pro-Palestinian insurrectionists occupied a Federal House Office building in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, chanting "Ceasefire now and let Gaza live." The insurrectionists, many who wore face masks and dressed in black, and flew a banner demanding that Israel stop defending itself from rocket attacks against civilians, occupied the ground floor of the Cannon Office building, one of three main buildings where congressional staff and lawmakers work. Representative Rashida Tlaib was leading the protest. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, RGA, was on the scene and noted a double standard between the pro-Palestinian insurrectionists and the protesters on January 6th. "There's an insurrection happening now on Capitol Hill," her video caption read of the event. "They are claiming they want peace, but they want money to go to terrorists. Watch video here." Green said she did not know why Capitol Police allowed the insurrectionists inside the building. "I don't know," she replied to an individual in the video. Watch video here. As the insurrection continued, photos show Capitol Police apprehending the insurrectionists and removing them from the building. If it wasn't obvious yet, insurrection, when conservatives demonstrate; protest, when liberals demonstrate, said conservative commentator Luca Cacciatore. Fox News correspondent Chad Bergram posted a photo of Representative Brandon Williams, RNY, standing silently with an Israeli flag as the pro-Palestinian insurrection played out below. The protest came after a hospital in Gaza was blown up on Tuesday. After the blast, multiple pieces of evidence emerged from the Israel Defense Forces and the media that suggested the blast was an errant rocket fired by Hamas, not an Israeli airstrike. Several leaders also rushed to blame Israel for the hospital blast, even though multiple pieces of evidence suggested the contrary as authorities gathered information. Among them was Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Radical Democrat Representative Rashida Tlaib, DME. Follow Wendell Hasibo on Twitter at Wendell Hasibo. He is the author of Politics of Slave Morality.
There you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League radio show. Your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell. Jeff, your views, sir.
Yeah, I would say it was wrong, wrong, wrong. Everything about the insurrectionists, well, I can't understand that. Don't understand why Capitol Police let them. And you say that was an insurrection. That was definitely an insurrection. But it took them ages before they decided to put the cuffs on them and march them out. Probably took them down to the police station and let them go 5 minutes later. It's the way of the world, Dave. It's the way of the world. And the ones who don't know why, the January 6th guys who's been stuck in prison for God knows how long now, did nothing wrong. One got blown away. I can't remember the lady's name, but she was a veteran, which was really tragic when we heard about it. You see the bastard who shot her for no reason at all. Yeah, just shot her. And of course, these poor people, until hopefully Donald Trump takes the presidency and just gives them, lets them go, because it's disgusting what's happened there. But and just talking about the hospital that was bombed. No, it was not bombed. Dave, they got it all wrong. It was the bloody car park. There was no, you don't see no crater. Normally if a shell hits, especially a missile, you've got a dirty great big crater, haven't you, Dave? You know what I mean? But no. It was a small indentation what blew up and went probably the main car which started them all off. That was it. It was all in their cars. That's really, and it wasn't no 500 people. Take it from me, ladies and gentlemen, well under that figure. That was a load of cobblers. That was the propaganda from Hamas. Yes, the government of Hamas telling everybody there was 500. No, it was not. It was well under the number. So believe anything that comes out. When they say anything, just look in the opposite way. Because that's where you get the truth. And look into it. You don't have to listen because these are lying scumbags. And who wants to listen to lies, ladies and gentlemen? But it seems like there's a lot of people do, donuts. Back to you, Dave.
Right, Jeff. Now, you talked about the media and their role in supporting these terrorists. And it just so happens that I've got one from the one media company in the UK that everyone used to trust, but isn't worth a darn to trust anymore. This one will be just under 4 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
BBC under fire as journalists appear to praise Hamas terror attacks on Israel. By Kurt Zindelka on October 16, 2023. The BBC has come under heavy scrutiny as its own reporters have been accused of supporting the Palestinian terror group Hamas in the wake of deadly assaults on Israel. Britain's publicly funded broadcaster said that it has launched an urgent review as several reporters for BBC News Arabic, which is funded by the UK public through the television license fee, appear to praise murderous Hamas terrorists as freedom fighters. For instance, according to The Telegraph, BBC Arabic correspondent Sally Nabil liked the post on X, formerly Twitter, that praised the Palestinian resistance taking an initiative and surprises the Israeli occupier with an operation of quality. She also liked a comment on a video of a truck loaded with kidnapped civilians that described a proud scene. Another example saw programs editor at BBC Arabic Nada Abdelsamad repost a video depicting Israelis hiding from Hamas with the caption, "Settlers hiding inside a tin container in fear of the Palestinian resistance warriors." The post also featured the Quran reference hashtag promise of the hereafter, which has been associated with the complete destruction of Israel. Responding to the apparent breaches of the BBC's impartiality guidelines, a spokesman for the Camera Arabic campaign group which monitors news coverage of Israel said, "These revelations about BBC Arabic employees go hand in hand with the outlet's ongoing conduct during the war." The BBC has repeatedly whitewashed the practice of targeting Jewish civilians in Israel even before the current escalation. They constantly claim that they apply the same editorial standards of accuracy and impartiality to their services in all languages, including those with which BBC management is not familiar and can't oversee properly, such as Arabic. But these lapses do not occur anywhere near as frequently in their English language content, so that can't be taken seriously. The BBC has said that it will conduct an investigation into the apparent bias of some of its Middle Eastern reporters, saying, "We are urgently investigating this matter. We take allegations of breaches of our editorial and social media guidelines with the utmost seriousness, and if and when we find breaches we will act, including taking disciplinary action." The scandal comes after the BBC was already embroiled in controversy for refusing to label Hamas terrorists as terrorists to supposedly maintain impartiality. This comes despite the fact that the British government has officially designated the Palestinian organization as a terror group. Defending the decision to use terms such as militants or gunmen, BBC World Affairs editor John Simpson wrote, "It's simply not the BBC's job to tell people who to support and who to condemn, who are the good guys and who are the bad guys." The decision has prompted widespread criticism, even from members of the British government. Last week, BBC Sports reporter Noah Abrahams, who is of Jewish descent, announced his resignation from the broadcaster over its refusal to call Hamas terrorists. The BBC has previously been forced to apologize for ignoring complaints of anti-Semitic content and anti-Israel bias. It is also not the first time that the broadcaster has faced criticism over its reporters in the Middle East. For example, in 2021, a Palestinian specialist for the broadcaster was revealed to have declared that Hitler was right and the state of Israel was more Nazi than Hitler. Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter, follow at Kurt Zindelka or email to zindelka@breitbart.com.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff?
Nothing new with the BBC then, Dave. Same old, with it, eh? It's a shame. It's not like it used to be. Back in the days of the Second World War, whenever we sit around our radio, and it'd be British Worldwide Service broadcasting whiskey. Do you know, that is the way it was, and people from all over the world would listen to it. Not these days. Everybody hates the BBC. They're detested. Reason why? They're biased. You can see anti-Semitic, whatever you want to call them. It's sad and tragic to see once a great corporation like themselves. Not really, because they want to take people's money all the bloody time. You know, sponging off the people. They, not even giving people over the age of 75 a free license. They took that away from the old age pensioners. Can you imagine that? But that's what they did. That proves how scummy they are. We all detest them. No one likes them. They're biased and, if you look at the building outside, look at that statue, it tells you all about who they are. Jimmy Savile, bloody, supported him all them years, and all the other groups involved. And you've only got to look at the statue, and the bloke on that statue was a known paedophile. There you go, that speaks all you need to know about the BBC and what an evil organisation. It needs to be just eroded away. People don't watch it. Just don't watch it. Just switch off from it. Anyway, back to you, Dad. That's all I'm going to say. They're scumbags.
Well said, Jeff. And the difference, really, between the BBC and our fake stream media over here is that our fake stream media gets to run commercials, while the BBC is completely financed by the people who they're lying to. I mean, their biased coverage is being aimed right at the people that pay for their very existence. And your reasons for disliking them are well-founded. I mean, they might as well run commercials, but to add insult to injury, not only are they lying to the people of the UK on a constant basis and mischaracterizing organizations like the EDL and lying about things like the Muslim rape gangs that are using the children of the UK as sex toys, they're doing all that. And at the same time, they're saying, give us more money because we want to lie to you some more and we want to be more woke and we want to brainwash you some more in the same style as the Ministry of Truth in George Orwell's 1984, which, by the way, is going to be appearing at TECN.TV. They are the Ministry of Truth, and that's the problem. And Jeff is right. Just turn away from them. And that's the best way to resist, is just to turn away from them. Maybe if you've got a nice DVD or something like that, pop that in and take a look at it instead of listening to these jerks. Now, Jeff, is there anything else you have to say or anything out of the chat before we move on?
Well, there's nothing else I want to say about what we just talked about. I don't want to give them any extra talk. I don't need to talk about it. It was a scum. So we'll just leave it there, Dave. Just go have a look in the chat if anything's said there. No, Snowman, just listening to the show. Hope you're enjoying the show, Snowman James. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, ditto. Snowman James, hope you're enjoying the program. All right. So we're going to be talking about other kinds of support here. And the other kind of support that we're going to get into, quote-unquote, humanitarian aid for, quote-unquote, Palestine. Now, this one here is going to be about 4 3/4 minutes long. It's a long one, but it's a good one. And you guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Check this one out.
backtrack and double down. EU to triple financial aid to Gaza despite concerns of funding Hamas. By Kurt Zindelka on October 17, 2023. The European Union announced that it will triple financial aid to Gaza despite concerns and allegations that such funding props up the radical Islamist Hamas terror organization. At the urging of United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen pledged that the bloc would increase its current humanitarian aid by €50 million, $53/£43 million, to Gaza, up from the €25 million already committed. The Commission will immediately increase the current humanitarian aid envelope foreseen for Gaza by €50 million. This will bring the total to over €75 million. We will continue our close cooperation with the UN and its agencies to ensure that this aid reaches those in need in the Gaza Strip, von der Leyen said following a call with Guterres. The Commission supports Israel's right to defend itself against the Hamas terrorists, in full respect of international humanitarian law. We are working hard to ensure that innocent civilians in Gaza are provided support in this context, the German politician added. European Commissioner for Humanitarian Aid and Crisis Management Janice Mlynarczyk added, the Commission is doing everything in its power to provide humanitarian support to civilians in the Gaza Strip. This tripling of EU humanitarian assistance will help ensure that civilians in Gaza can be provided with the basic necessities required. It is essential that safe and unrestricted access for humanitarian aid is ensured. The decision to triple its current aid package to Gaza came just days after EU Commissioner Oliver Verheij announced the suspension of all Palestinian aid. However, later that day, the EU backtracked on the move following backlash from member states including Ireland, Luxembourg, Portugal, and Spain. The initial decision by Brussels to suspend aid to Palestine was over a concern that such funding may be used to embolden the Hamas terror group, which serves as a de facto governing force in the Gaza Strip after seizing control and abolishing elections in 2007. The EU is the largest financial backer of the Palestinian Authority, which claims to rule in part over Gaza and areas of the West Bank, having committed around €691 million. $728/£597 million, to the territories this year, alone. The bloc is expected to send a total of €1.18 billion between 2021 and 2024 to the region. Following the murderous Hamas terror attacks on Israel, which left over 1,300 dead and at least 199 kidnapped, Brussels vowed to ensure that no EU funding indirectly enables any terrorist organization to carry out attacks against Israel. However, given that money is fungible, it is not out of the realm of possibility that EU aid could be used in order to free up resources that Hamas would have otherwise been forced to spend. On Monday, the Israel Defense Forces claimed, for example, that Hamas terrorists used first aid kits supplied by the United Nations during their assault on Israel. Brussels has previously faced criticism for some of its aid being directed towards producing anti-Semitic textbooks used in Palestinian schools. It is even claimed Hamas has previously dug up water pipes filled with humanitarian aid money to bring clean drinking water to the people of the Gaza Strip to recycle the strong steel tubes into rocket casings instead. Last week, Israeli Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Lior Hayat said that some of the blame for the recent terror attacks should be placed on the EU for funding the radicalization of Palestinian youths. Those textbooks are the root of the Palestinian terror against Israelis. Young people are being taught, educated, to hate Jews and to murder Jews, Hayat said, adding, the entire international community should review the way that they see the conflict here. Europe is not the only power that is boosting aid. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said on Monday that his government was going to increase the money sent to the Palestinian people by an additional £10 million. An acute humanitarian crisis is unfolding to which we must respond. We must support the Palestinian people because they are victims of Hamas too, he said. Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter, follow at Kurt Zindelka or email to Zindelka@Breitbart.com.
Yes. Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Dangerman Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think?
They make you laugh, don't they? Send this money to over to a terrorist organisation country. Who voted them in? All the Palestinians. Oh, the ones who was the opposition Well, we all saw what happened to them, didn't we, Jack Day? Wasn't they took to the top of the roof and threw off every single one of them? Did we not see that, Dave? Or was my eyes deceiving me when this feed come through? Not quite a number of years ago now. But we all saw it. And these countries, including my own country, wants to give them who harbour Hamas, the terrorist organisation, blood-curdling organisation like them. They voted them in. And you see, look what's on their television when you got it working, that is. Look what they show to the kids. I'm going to kill a Jew. I'm Mickey Mouse. It's supposed to be Mickey Mouse, but it's evil. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have watched it, we saw clips, myself and Dave, see all these. This is totally evil, the way they pervert the kids' minds. It's horrific. This is the so-called Palestinians. That is it, the evil, the bias against, you know, the anti-Semitic, totally evil that comes out of them. You see the way that when they went over the border, what they did to the people. You see it. Babies being decapitated. You know, as you say, men being tied to chairs. Watch their wives being raped and then all shot. We saw that and then their bodies burned. We saw it. It was total evil devastation. And this is how they want to wipe out the Jewish people. Take it from me, a Hamas's charter starts off by, we want to eradicate all the Jews, men, women, children. There won't be one of them left. That is their charter. And there's people feeding them. People. Can you believe it? Anyway, I don't want to get too carried away, Dave, because... It makes me so angry. It makes me angry, and you know, I'm going to pass it back to you, David. It just winds me up beyond anything.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Now, for people who can't really get this, here's an example of the problem people have with this quote unquote humanitarian aid. Well. Let's say that I have $125 American dollars, and I've got a week ahead of me. Now, I could buy food with it, or I could buy a carton of cigarettes. Now, obviously, the more sensible thing for me to do is to buy the food with it. But if somebody gives me another $125, I'm going to buy that carton of smokes. Even though it's not healthy for me to have that carton of smokes. Because now the money that I had was freed up. So I can buy the food and I can buy the cigarettes. I can buy them both. And that is the same common sense problem that people have with giving aid to these people who put terrorists in charge in 2007. Here's the thing, guys. If those people had wanted to flee from the Gaza Strip, I'm not going to say Palestine, because Palestine is just a nation, quote-unquote nation, that was propped up by the UN who wants to see Israel gone. If these Gazan squatters had wanted to leave, they've had plenty of time to do so. Do the math. All right? They've had a generation to get out of there. So the ones left must be hardcore supporters. Maybe they're not pulling the triggers themselves. Maybe they're not setting off the missiles themselves. But they have to be hardcore supporters of Hamas and all of the Islamic terrorists who are attacking Israel and everywhere else. When these idiots talk about, and there are idiots in my country too that want to do this or are doing it. When they talk about quote-unquote humanitarian aid for the quote-unquote Palestinians, really the people that they're aiding are the terrorists. They're supporting terrorists. I don't care what the EU says about trying to make sure that the aid isn't going to get to the terrorists. It'll get there anyway. If nothing else, as the story said, it'll free up money so they can buy munitions, ammunition, weapons, whatever they need to help in the struggle to eradicate Israel from the face of the earth. So should people be giving this humanitarian aid? No, they should not. And with that, Jeff, do you have anything else to add to this, or is there anything out of the chat before we move on?
Let's have a look. Let's see the chat. So I'm just calming down, Dave, because I was just... I'm not that well that I used to be able to do a hardcore rant. It just takes the energy out of me now. It's like the energy day. So I've done my bit. And I think everybody who knows me knows that things like that really make me rant or want to really, really rant. But unfortunately, my health has become an issue that I've just got to take my time, haven't I? Back to you, brother.
All right, all right. Well, now, earlier we played a former MP from the UK, and many of you might have been thinking, wow, what a useful idiot. But we have some of those in the United States as well, and here is one of the main ones. Get ready for some true idiocy for about a minute and a half. This is another groupie for the terrorists. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. Get a listen to this.
Ocasio-Cortez, I have concerns about Israel pursuing collective punishment on Gaza. By Pam Key on October 16, 2023. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, DNY, said Monday on CNN's Newsnight that she had concerns about Israel using collective punishment in Gaza. Ocasio-Cortez said, I think what is important, in terms of response, is Israel does have a right to self-defense. I think what we need to take a look at in this situation is, if collective punishment qualifies as defense, if the blockade on water, food, electricity, if the dropping of white phosphorus, which is an indiscriminate weapon, qualifies. So I do believe that there is a discussion to be had here. I don't believe that, in either or approach is what is necessary, but we should identify what our goal is, which is the cooling of tensions in the region. She continued, I do believe Hamas has to be dealt with. But we're trying to figure out right now is what this present situation of collective punishment and indiscriminate attack is one approach, but we are seeing the issues and complications of that approach now. Can we target them in terms of intelligence? Is there precision? Ocasio-Cortez added, I have concerns about white phosphorus. I have concerns about the respect for humanitarian aid, about human rights and ensuring that we have humanitarian aid going through. Follow Pam Key on Twitter at Pam Kanan.
Someone hand me a barf bag. Welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Dangeman Mitchell. Jeff, your views?
I wonder if she thought about the human rights of the Jewish people, the Israeli people that were tortured, shot, babies beheaded. She didn't really say too much about it. She believes that Hamas, is a terror group, but as such. But she is too banging about the other stuff. It proves whose side she's on, really. The bias towards the Gazians, let's call Gazians, isn't it? You know, everybody stands with the Gazians because, you know, Palestine doesn't exist. It hasn't existed for a hell of a long time, is it, Dave? Maybe you could correct me on that. Am I right, Dave? That you can't see it on the map, can we, Dave? Yeah, back to you, Dave. Let's try back. Is it on the map? Don't think so.
Well, there are many new ways of looking at that in different designations, but basically, as I said, that they're a quote-unquote country that was created by the UN to throw a wedge into that area so that Israel could be wiped out. I think that was their end goal. Now,
yeah.
Cortez, the gabbling that you heard from her was basically, oh yeah, it was a terrible thing that happened, that attack in Israel, but Israel shouldn't be able to do anything about it. And if anything is done, it has to be done with really careful rules of engagement. That kind of noise is what got so many of our guys killed in Vietnam, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Somalia. The list goes on and on. The hits just keep on coming. That's not how you make war. Right? This bug-eyed bimbo does not understand how to make war. Obviously, the Mohammedans want Israel gone, and they're willing to go to war to do it. You can't sit down and have tea and some scones with these people and talk about it. Israel has to respond for the sake of its own survival. That's what it's about. Any of this other talk is a bunch of mealy-mouthed nonsense that does nothing but support the terrorists. Jeff, have you got anything more? Or is there anything out of chat?
No, I thank you for that comment, Dave. It clarified some things I was saying. There's nothing in the chat, Dave. But you clarified some of the points I want to ask you, Dave, and you clarified that. So thank you very much, as usual, buddy. That was really appreciated. So I'm done in and giving you a big salute for that. Cheers, bro. Back to you.
Yeah, that woman just makes me sick. Okay, well, something else that will probably make your guys' stomachs turn over is a 4.5-minute squib about our buddies from Spain. Yeah. Because the support for terror continues from the left, of course. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Leftist Spanish government minister demands Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu face war crimes charges for retaliation against Hamas. By Kurt Zindelka on October 17, 2023. A leading member of the leftist coalition government in Spain has called for Benjamin Netanyahu and other members of the Israeli government to be brought before the International Criminal Court for war crimes. The general secretary of the far-left Trotskyite Podemos Party and the acting minister of social rights Ion Valera called on the caretaker socialist Spanish government of Pedro Sánchez to petition the prosecutor's office of the International Criminal Court to investigate alleged war crimes committed in Palestine by the Netanyahu government in Jerusalem. In a video published on social media, Valera claimed, according to El Mundo, that the state of Israel is carrying out a planned genocide in the Gaza Strip and that the bombings on the civilian population are a collective punishment that seriously violates international law and can be considered war crimes. The Spanish politician went on to claim that the deep cause of the ongoing conflict is Israel's occupation and apartheid of Palestine. Valera also accused the Israeli government, apparently citing disputed quotes from Netanyahu, of propping up Hamas in order to weaken secular sectors of the Palestinian resistance, and therefore it is unspeakable hypocrisy to use Hamas as an excuse to murder thousands of Palestinian civilians, including boys and girls. Using the terrible murders of Israeli civilians by Palestinian armed factions as an excuse to justify Israel's crimes and the masquerade in Gaza is absolutely unacceptable, the Podemos leader said. Valera went on to accuse the European Union and the United States of being complicit in the alleged war crimes, saying that they are not only looking the other way, they are encouraging the state of Israel in its policy of apartheid and occupation that seriously violates human rights. The EU must recover its values of peace and abandon its following of the US, she said, continuing, it must stop being an accomplice to a war criminal like Netanyahu. It is urgent to recognize that what we see in Gaza are war crimes and that Palestinian lives matter. In response, the Israeli embassy in Madrid, without naming Valera specifically, said that it is deeply worrying that certain elements within the Spanish government have chosen to align themselves with this kind of ISIS-style terrorism. These statements are not only absolutely immoral, but they also endanger the security of the Jewish communities of Spain, exposing them to the risk of a greater number of anti-Semitic incidents and attacks. Spain's foreign ministry said that it is right in a democracy for politicians to be able to express their positions as the representative of a political party, The Guardian reported. In any case, the Spanish government's position on the terrorist attacks carried out by Hamas is clear. Unequivocal condemnation, demands for the immediate and unconditional release of the hostages, and the recognition of Israel to defend itself within the limits set by international law and international humanitarian law. In her video, Valera went on to encourage Spanish citizens and those throughout Europe to take to the streets to protest against Israel. The Spanish government minister attended an anti-Israel rally in Madrid on Sunday, which was organized in part by the controversial group Samadun, Solidarity Network with Palestinian Political Prisoners, which German Chancellor Olaf Scholz announced last week would be banned in Germany for its ties to the Hamas terror group. At the demonstration in Madrid, El Mundo reported, crowds chanted slogans such as, "Israel is not a country. It is an occupation. Long live the struggle of the Palestinian people. Palestine will win. It is not a war. It is a genocide and Zionism is Nazism." According to a report from Reuters, at least 2,383 Palestinians have died and a further 10,814 were left injured as of Sunday morning in the retaliatory strikes from Israel on Gaza and the West Bank. This followed the series of terror attacks on Israel the previous week in which over 1,300 people in Israel were murdered by Hamas terrorists and nearly 200 were kidnapped. Follow Kurt Sindelka on Twitter, follow at Kurt Sindelka or email to Sindelka@Breitbart.com.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Festival Radio Show with host Jeff, Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, your views?
Well, it's quite obvious she attended that rally against Israel, which was sponsored by, yes, Hamas. There you go. And of course, her being a Marxist, of course she's going to do what she does. What an evil piece of work she is. And of course she's encouraging attacks on the Jewish community, you know, around in Spain. She's not doing any good. In fact, she should really be sacked from her job. What a horrible piece of work. Oh my goodness. Dave, I don't really want to comment on her. I don't like the, you know, because it's a woman. There's things I would say if it's a bloke, but she's just not worth my energy. She's disgusting. She's disgusting, you know, with what she said. That's all I want to say, mate, because it just really, as you know, things like this really get me going, really make me angry. And people like her, I can't help. I despise those type of people. It's just a shame that she breathes the same air as we do, the same oxygen. It should not be allowed. There you go, Dave. Back to you.
Yes, breathes in oxygen and breathes out poison. Yeah, Jeff, and of course, we've got them in our country, as you just heard, and of course, you've got them in your country, and they're all over the West. And basically what they are is, again, groupies for the terrorists. I really would like to know her response to the question. All right. You say Israel has the right to respond according to international law and international human rights law. So did Hamas pay attention to either one of those when they attacked Israel? Did they? Let me just help you there. No, they did not. Now, in the real world, and in a world where you have Mohammedans who understand nothing but an eye for an eye, you have to do that. Now, is that going to involve some casualties that you wouldn't want to cause? Yes, it will, sadly. But Israel didn't start it. They had the right to exist. They have the right to exist. And I don't care what any Muslim says about the fact that they had six generations of people in that area before. But the Israelis had generations of people there for 2,000 years before that. So guess who has the better claim? Israel has the right to defend itself in any way that it finds necessary. And for evil demons like this, sweetie, I hope you like it warm. Because at the end of your life, you're not going to be wearing a lot of parkas. Let's just put it that way. Right. So Jeff, do you have anything else to say at this point? Or is there anything out of chat before we move into our last item?
Yeah, I'm just there's nothing in the chat. That's okay. But no, I appreciated what you said there, Dave. You know, because these people just wind me up, and unfortunately, they should check out Revelations when it seems like a lot of these have turned against Israel. We know how that ends up, don't we, Dave? We know how that ends up, and every page that we look at Revelation is pointing that direction. And yeah, you'll have nowhere to run. You'll have nowhere to hide. All you evil doers out there, you stand against the great people of Israel, who all they wanted to exist, just had the right to exist, and you stand against them. You're just doing everything what our Bible, our dear Bible, was told us for thousands of years. This is how it will turn out. And you're just running it right down that road. You've got yourself to blame. Because in the end, a lot of us will see a new heaven and a new earth. People like you will be thrown into the flames of hell and be burned forever. Just check it out. Check Revelations out. You've only got to see. Dave, I didn't want to become all religious on it. I'm not. I'm just pointing out the revelations of a certain part out there that tells us that. But unfortunately, these people are just running down the road to oblivion, aren't they, Dave? Thank you, brother.
Well, you're right about that, Jeff. And I'm going to end the show with more ridiculousness from the fake stream media, this time in the United States, from one of the more disreputable media organizations that just happens to be big on our cable networks. Hardly anybody watches them, but that doesn't keep them from being propped up with funny money and stuff like that. So they're on every cable package, every satellite package, every streaming package that has news. But get a load of this mess. This is about a minute and a half, and this will tell you everything really that you need to know about the fake stream media that we have over here in the United States, and indeed in the West, because this is all being reflected all over the Western world. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
MSNBC's O'Donnell: Israel must welcome restraint talk after hospital blast, even if it wasn't responsible for the blast. By Ian Hanchett on October 17, 2023. On Tuesday's broadcast of MSNBC's The Last Word, host Lawrence O'Donnell stated that Israel has to be even more welcoming to a discussion about restraint and being careful about civilian casualties in the wake of the explosion at a hospital in Gaza, even if it turns out that Israel had nothing to do with the explosion, because it is a matter of perception that they have to be very much concerned about. After MSNBC political analyst, former Undersecretary of State in the Obama administration Richard Stengel stated that one thing President Joe Biden wants to do, which John Kirby has said, and which other people at the NSC have said, is he wants to talk to Bibi, not only about his endgame, but about restraint, about being careful about civilian casualties. That's also something a friend can do. O'Donnell then stated, well, and after this event, that is an unavoidable discussion. It's one that, a discussion that Israel has to be even more welcoming to, after this event today. And that isn't to say that Israel is to blame for this at all, but it is a matter of perception that they have to be very much concerned about. Follow Ian Hanchett on Twitter at Ian Hanchett.
Yeah. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think?
Of course, Israel is always very careful. It always tries to pinpoint exactly where the enemy is. It's always said that. And it's not the fault of the IDF if, you know, Hamas are putting using them as shields while they do all the nefarious things, firing rockets over into Jews, into Israel, and all that. And of course, what you're doing when they're trying to kill your people, you take out their positions. Unfortunately, they have got it where they think, oh dear, there's about 20 people got killed in it. Oh, that's good for us because we'll just blame it on Israel. So the bloodthirsty people, and just goes to show you, these people, or these scumbags, have always done this. They've always used civilians as their shields. They put a woman and a child. There was something a while ago, a couple of years ago, one of these horrible people had a baby in his arms while he was firing at the Americans. I can't remember who's right. He's firing at the Americans while holding the baby in front of him. These are the people, the most despicable pieces of filth on this world, that you've got to go. You've got to use Sadi and so, oh, be careful, you know, collateral damage, you know how that goes. And it's supposed to take a bullet to watch who's shooting at them and then respond. Yeah, I mean, it's totally madness. That is the world we live in. This is the evil fight against evil people that we have to deal with. And it also is condemnation from across the evilness of the world. We see it, you know, it just makes you sick. Because we know, you know, if Israel wants to keep what they've got and be the people they are, they've got to defend themselves never, ever again. And I would agree every step of the way with what they do. So unfortunately, casualties. And don't, how can you blame it on Israel? When they're putting people in front of them and then a bomb drops, and people get killed, and then they blame it the mainstream media. Oh, it has a big blast about Israel, the IDF, blah blah blah. There you go. This is what I'm saying. The propaganda. See the propaganda that comes out of there. Don't believe a single word that comes out of these people's mouth. These are mass, whatever they call themselves. They are liars. They're scumbags of the world. I don't say no more, Davis, because I think I've said enough in this. I just needed to say that, Dave, because, you know, it's just crazy times we live in this world. Back to you, brother.
What O'Donnell is saying is that the most important thing here is the perception of how the rest of the world sees Israel. Well, Larry, old butt munch, let me tell you what's really important. Survival. As long as the situation stays as it is, with Gaza being occupied by these terrorists and terrorist sympathizers, these attacks are going to happen again and again and again. The only difference is going to be the severity of the attacks. And this has been happening for years, and it will continue to happen as long as the situation stays the same and Israel does not take care of business while they have the opportunity. And you can't do that, Larry, or Alexandria, or, you know, whoever that cow's name in Spain is. You can't do that by having an IDF soldier walk up to a terrorist and, you know, put his hand on the guy's shoulder and go, "Excuse me, sir, we would really like for you to accompany us to the station and help us with our inquiries." That ain't going to cut it. That is not going to cut it. This is war. Just as we played in the song that started this show, it's war, and it's about the survival of the state of Israel and God's chosen people. And we've shown you guys who is against that. And neither Jeff nor I are ashamed of saying that we're for it. We're for the people of Israel. We're for the Israeli state as long as they operate to God's will. And we are for the chosen people of God. And we're not backing off from that. And I want to thank everybody for listening, especially Blog Talk Radio and at the DECN.TV radio page. And Jeff, I'll just do my finals here and say that please check out the Unpleasant Blank Eye page at Spreaker.com. My normal show times are 1 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern in the United States, and that is 6 p.m. Monday through Friday in the U.K. And New to You shows will be coming out on Saturdays at midnight Eastern in the United States and at 5 a.m. in the U.K. on Saturdays. And I just want to say to the foot soldiers, the angels, and all of the people who are spreading the truth, and especially to the people of Israel and the IDF and all who support them, be prosperous, be safe, be blessed, and always remember, no surrender ever. Jeff, back to you, buddy. I'm done talking.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. Myself, I'd like to say the same to all you that's been listening in to this show this evening. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And as much as Dave and myself has enjoyed bringing the show to you. And yes, we will always be in the same mind set about things like this. This is so important to us. We stand at some very serious times in our lives, but you stand as one. You stand as, doing what we do. The truth is the most respected thing in the world. Unfortunately, when you get mainstream media lying to everybody all the time and throwing confusion here, there and everywhere, it makes it really difficult. But you do get the truth. People like myself, people like Dave, we want to bring you the truth. Week in, week out, it's what we do. It's what we've always done and what we will continue to do. So all I say to you all is be safe, as I say to my Jewish friends and the IDF and everybody involved. Godspeed with what you have to do, and be God with you all. Well, there you go. And so we said we'll play this because it needs to be done. We show our support of what's happening with what Israel's doing. But anyway, thanks, Dave. And let's say Snowman James. Cheers for being here, buddy. Good to have you in here with us this evening. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, as I say, it's been an interesting show tonight. I know, Dave, thanks for the great slides as well and the great script for this evening, buddy. Appreciated. And you know what, guys? We'll see you again next week. You take care, you stay safe. And don't forget, no surrender, render. And with that, I've just got to say, this is the English Defence League radio show. We're signing off for tonight, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Bye-bye.
Something for our American listeners, which they are the second biggest audience that Jeff has. There's a warrior in our country that needs assistance, and the assistance he needs is big time assistance. I don't think we've never had an appeal like this on Jeff's show, but we're going to do it this time. The gentleman that I'm referring to is Brian Flowers. Now, he ran for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District of Mississippi 2 times against Benny Thompson, the Democrat who is in charge of the January 6th committee, well, anyway, in our Congress. The election was set to be won by Brian Flowers in the last time, but it was basically stolen from him. But that has not kept Brian Flowers from still being a warrior for the people. I think Jeff summed it up when we discussed this earlier. He's one of us. He's one of the people. And he's not with this World Economic Forum crowd or any of these other creeps. But Brian, and Brian, by the way, has 3 girls from the teens on down to about maybe 8 years old and a wife and a regular job. He is a true warrior who was willing to go into the snake pit of Washington, D.C. and do battle for us. And he is still willing to do that, but at this point, he needs help. Brian is suffering from a rare genetic disease called PKD. Now, this is what's known as an orphan disease. In other words, it's one of those diseases that the pharmaceutical companies don't think that it's profitable enough to try and find cures for and things. Basically, his kidneys are now about the size of an American football. And for you guys in the UK, that's about 2/3 the size of one of your footballs. His kidney function is down below the 20% mark, and he needs a kidney transplant. Now, I know a lot of you guys are going to clutch the pearls and things over that, but for somebody here in the United States who wants to help out a warrior, there is an opportunity to do that. There are 2 things you can do to find information on this. And now, if you want to find out Brian's whole story about this, go to the TECN.TV Rumble page, and you're going to see a program in there. Now, remember, you can get to the TECN.TV Rumble page off of the link that is in our show page. The show you want to look for that will give you all the information is TECN.TV, A Patriot Needs a Hero, Brian Flowers, PKDO, and A Need for a Kidney. That's where you'll go if you want to get the entire story. It's going to tell you everything you need to know about the orphan disease PKD, and you'll also get other information about how this is affecting a warrior in the United States. Now, if you want to call directly and find out how you can donate a kidney or just find out information about it, you can go to, and I promise you guys, this link is shorter. So, https://ummc.donorscreen.org/register/now. And you can also make a phone call to find out about this information. Area code 601-984-5065. That's area code 601-984-5065. And you'll get some options in there. And the option you want is the live donor option. This is a man who was willing and is still willing to fight for you and fight for our freedoms and liberties. And it's a big ask. It's a huge ask. But, hey, there it is if you want to help.